This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is. With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Turley swinging at the first pitch. Hits it high and deep into the twilight and at the... That is up and gone. Saw a little deep there from... the left fielder, Martinez, but nothing he could do. It's over that 14-foot fence. And that is career home run number 50.
This is Durden Sprague.
Now he bunts. Another safety squeeze. Stay home! Safe!
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 1080 The Fan. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Happy Monday. A special edition of the program today. No Andy. Dirt is out until Thursday. And so coming in and filling in for Dirt and maybe Wally Pippenham is the wonderful, the marvelous, the beautiful Bill Orme, columnist for the Oregonian. Good morning.
Is Wally Pippen Scottie Pippen's cousin?
He absolutely is, yeah.
The lesser-known member of the Pippen clan.
Wally Pippen Jr. plays for the Memphis Grizzlies as well with Scottie Pippen Jr.
Oh, gosh. Thank you so much for having me. This is going to be a lot of fun, I think.
I can't believe you're willing to do this. You know how many people I can't get to wake up and do the show with me?
I have kids. I have a puppy. 5 a.m. doesn't scare me anymore.
Yeah. I always feel like when people have kids... and I'm like, hey, could you hop on at 7? And they're like, can you go any later? And I'm like, you have kids. What do you mean? You're awake at 6 o'clock.
7 o'clock is the worst hour, though, for any obligations outside the house. Because 7 o'clock is the maddest rush of chaos.
It's breakfast.
My kids are
up.
Dressed. It's breakfast. I mean, getting my kids dressed in the morning is World War III. And then I have to get them to school. Not... just by 8, it's in the window between 7:52 and 8 a.m., which is like trying to hit the tiniest little target, you know, from the moon when you're talking about all the things that kids need in the morning and the emotions they have and they didn't get their sleep. So shout out to my mom, by the way, who's handling all that this morning so I can be here. So Granny Orem is handling it.
There you go. You know, it's I used to have those mornings when we were noon to 3. I would be the breakfast morning guy because I used to wake up at 5 a.m. anyway, just being a sicko. And so I would be the one that gets breakfast going, get the kids ready, pack the lunch, all that stuff, because my wife's not as big a morning person. And I can't tell you how many times I had one of those experiences where you don't feel like you're an awful parent, but you feel like you're an awful parent. And there's a little bit of, hey, the voice is getting louder. You're not listening to me. Brush your teeth. Get dressed. And you're like, God, I'm probably the worst person in the world right now. And then you realize as you talk to people how normal that is in a lot of households.
I just want to get up. I want to drink a cup of coffee. Mm-hmm. I want to complete the Wordle, which I just realized I haven't done yet today.
Oh, I just got it done.
We could do it on the show. We could do this live.
You'll beat me today, I promise.
Would it take you five?
Five.
Oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
I knew you'd be a Wordle nerd. I knew you would be.
Do you do the full buffet of New York Times games?
I don't do the full buffet. I do Strands, which I think is my favorite.
Oh, okay.
And then I do the mini cross.
How fast are you at the mini cross?
The fastest I've ever gotten it done is a minute 30.
That cannot be true.
100%.
No, this is like, it's like a 15-second game.
Well, yeah, for somebody like you, it is. I'm in radio, dude. How smart do you think we are?
I guess I'm learning.
There's like eight words. Those words aren't always easy.
You don't need to get all of them. You just need to get. You need to get.
I know.
One row. You need to get the rows.
I'm stupid. All right. I thought you were gonna say good job. I'm impressed. No, I'm an idiot. All right.
What did you want? 30.
Yeah, the fastest.
What's your longest Wordle streak? Two.
Okay. All right. First of all, I'm better at Wordle than I am the mini cross. Yesterday, it took me 14 minutes to do the mini cross.
Did you go for a run in the middle?
No. There was like two words. I'm like, what is this word? I couldn't find the letters.
Come on. I am such a jerk about the mini crossword.
I can tell. You've already started off as a jerk.
So Howard Beck from The Ringer is a friend.
Okay.
And he would do... So you know you can share the scores and you've got your leaderboard on the mini crossword. And he and I would compare scores, and I would let's say I was 15 seconds, he was 35 seconds.
Okay.
I went through it last year sitting in the press box of the Rose Bowl because that game was such, you know,
it was
a pile.
Done at halftime.
Right.
Know.
I took my time during the first half of the Rose Bowl to go back and add up how many more minutes Howard Beck had spent completing the 365 mini crosswords last year than I did, and it came out to be like 3 hours.
Jeez Louise.
So I was able to publicly shame Howard Beck for wasting 3 more hours of his year on the mini crossword than I did.
Look, I'm
not proud.
Well,
I am a little proud.
You are proud, but like also there's already a reputation with writers, and you come in at 6:05 a.m. and you live up to the reputation.
I'm nothing if not reliable.
Man, consistent is what I would say there. Yeah, I'm not, you know, I like to play it. I like to do brain games in the morning. It's kind of my thing. I wake up, I do a little push-ups, I do a brain game, and then I come in and do the show. And I just, you know, if I get it done in like 4 minutes, I'm proud of myself.
You could beat me at push-ups.
Probably, yeah.
Okay.
Probably. I'll give you that one. I wouldn't shame you. I wouldn't be like, oh, you only did 10 of them? What's wrong with you?
I'd be proud of 10 at this point,
okay,
given where I'm at right now.
Well, look, there's a hierarchy of push-ups on the show. Ortner is clearly number one. He's a 20-something who does nothing but work out and stand in front of wood panels and give gambling advice. And so Ortner would probably beat everybody here combined, but it's Ortner, me, then you.
Okay.
Then if we're doing the crossword.
The bronze.
Yeah, you're a bronze.
That's great.
There's nothing wrong with a bronze. Ortner, are you a good crossword guy?
Dude, you guys are talking a language that I don't even try to dive into. Yeah. Like, what are we talking about? Crosswords, Wordle? That ain't happening over here.
That is the pride of Hawkinson High School over there, Orem. That is the 67th greatest offensive line prospect out of Hawkinson High School in their history. He is maybe the 44th greatest player in Central Washington football history.
Mike Riley, number one?
Mike Riley, number one.
No, it's John Kitna. John Kitna, number one.
Yeah, okay.
Then probably Adam Big Hill. And then
didn't Riley go to Alabama?
The good one.
Yeah. There's a couple different Mike Rileys.
The good one. He said the good one. No, but
Mike Riley had a cup of coffee with the Steelers, I think.
Yeah, he was a really good player in the CFL. I think he won a Grey Cup or two. He was in BC for a little bit. Mm-hmm. I think he was in Edmonton. Look, I'm very up to know in the Central Washington greatness category.
When I met Mike Riley, I just kind of walked into his office. I didn't know how anything worked as a student. And so I was like, I'm going to interview the football coach. And so I walked into Mike Riley's office without a meeting, without an email, without anything. I just thought you could just go interview people. And so I walk into Mike Riley's office. And somebody finally comes up and says, what are you doing? And I was like, oh, I just wanted to interview the coach. And they were like, well, you're supposed to say... And he just came on over and he's like, it's all right. He brought me into his office and we sat down and talked for 25 minutes about the CFL. It was like the thing he was the most proud of was the CFL.
Do you know that we're talking about two different Mike
Riley? He has no idea that we're talking about a different Mike Riley.
I'm aware. I realized that when you said Central Washington.
That was an amazing like two conversations at once that somehow melded together.
Look, I'm well aware that we're talking about two different Mike Rileys. I just wanted to share my Mike Riley story with you so you could share your Mike Riley story.
If you have a Mike Riley story, call into the show. Tell us your story about a different Mike Riley.
If your name's Mike Riley, call into the program. You are welcome in today. We could talk about how great it is to be named Mike Riley.
Mike Riley brought the Central Washington, what are they, the Wildcats?
Yes, we are the Wildcats.
Brought the Central Washington Wildcats into Washington Grizzly Stadium at the University of Montana when I was a student. And acquitted himself quite well.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did he do to you guys?
Lost.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
okay.
Well. I mean, he was a player. He was the best player on the field that day.
You're one of those cocky, sniffing Montana fans, aren't you?
I'm not a fan. I'm an alum. There's a difference.
Well, I mean.
Isn't that the same thing?
Yeah. What's the difference?
I paid good money for a piece of paper.
Hold on. What's the difference? What's the difference between an alum and a fan? Like, I get what you're saying.
No. I mean, like, I have skin in the game. Like, No, I mean, like, I'm a stakeholder in the University of Montana.
Well, what about a guy that, like, grew up, went to every game at Oregon, and found a great trade job, and like his whole life, he's got a great career, but his whole life he's been bleeding orange and green and yellow. Like,
sounds like a very conflicted person.
Is that any different than?
I would say that the level of commitment and connection that person feels to the team is no different. But I do feel like there is a subtle difference between having gone to the school, been, you know, part of the community on campus day in and day out, than being just a fan of the sports teams.
Boy, you're shaming radio hosts for how slow it takes them to do the mini cross, and now we're questioning fan loyalty.
I'm not. There's no questioning loyalty. I think that fandom takes many forms. I just think if you have the degree from the school, your connection and your investment in the success of those teams is just a little different. It hits a little different.
I once was critical of Oregon State football, to no shocking development for our listeners, and I was critical, and somebody was like, why would you do that? Why would you say that? And I was like, I paid $22,680. I'll say whatever I want
to
say about Oregon State, all right? I paid my money to say that.
Yeah, nobody wants to hear my takes about Montana football and head coach Bobby Houck, but I do feel like I paid for the right to have those opinions.
I'd like to hear your opinions. As a small school football enthusiast, I would love to hear your opinions.
My biggest question would be, why do you guys refuse to move up a level? Do you just like dominating the FCS?
I would like to be a little bit more dominant in the FCS and stop losing in the first round, Bobby Houck, honest.
What's wrong with going? At least you're in the first round.
Boy, talk about a great playoff structure, by the way. Like, can somebody just tell the CFP to do what the FCS does?
I know.
It's terrific.
I don't even follow FCS football, but when I see it on my TV, I go, why have they done this right the whole time? And we're still going like, is it four? Is it two? Is it a computer? Is it a committee? I never know how to gauge it, but I just don't know why they can't do it, but the FCS can.
It's the best playoff system. And granted, I don't spend a lot of time like studying like Division II or the Division III playoffs, but the FCS playoff is so much fun. It is pretty darn inclusive.
Yep.
You get great early round games. You get the occasional surprise. And you know what? The best team usually ends up winning. Like, it's the best of all worlds.
They also like having home games.
Yes.
I mean, congratulations to the college football bye teams, Oregon included last year. You don't get to host a playoff
game. You missed
game.
Out on the best part of the new playoff system.
Easily the best part was the home game.
Like, I don't know. I would rather do away with byes entirely if it meant that you're going to get a home game. Because it's good for the bottom line. It's good for fans.
I agree.
The experience is good. I mean, I wanted to see Oregon hosting, you know, whoever, right? Like Tennessee at Autzen at night in December.
Yeah.
Like, how cool would that have been?
Yeah.
And by the way, I think that they would have been in a little bit better condition by January 1st as well. But I just think that that system has somehow gotten so many things wrong in such a short period of time. And I don't even know that what they're trying to address it with now really fixes those problems.
Yeah, it's a little odd that it's not odd, I guess. They're chasing money, but I just, the whole, like, playing in a neutral site, quote-unquote, venue is, it's never been for me.
The bowl game system.
Even the non-conference games, I'm like, wait, Oregon's going to Atlanta to take on Georgia, but it's not a road game, it's a neutral site game. I wonder how many, you know, red and black fans will be at that game versus the green and the yellow.
It's so interesting to watch them try to fit the square peg through the round hole of like a playoff and the bowl system.
Right.
And trying to keep these great games that have pageantry and history, you know, the Rose Bowl, the Fiesta Bowl, the Cotton Bowl, the Sugar Bowl, keep those in place while also trying to make it a playoff. And that is, I think eventually this is going to come to a head where it's like, do we have a playoff or are we trying to preserve the bowl system? Because these things don't actually, they're not simpatico. They don't go together naturally. And I think that's what they keep running into.
I told Dirt this when we got into the four-teamer and then we knew they were going to expand around that time. I'm like, it was the year Herbert and the Ducks won the Rose Bowl. Mm-hmm. They beat Wisconsin. He had the three rushing tutties. And I remember going on the show and we were talking about the game and like, oh, you know, good game for Herbert, last one at Oregon, all that. And I said, you know, at the end of the day, it is a good win. And I know this is going to sound like sour grapes given my background as a student, but in reality, like, you'd rather go to the playoff and get drubbed by LSU the way Oklahoma did that year than be in a non-playoff game. Like, we're in the era where who cares? You didn't play in the playoff, who cares? And I haven't always cared about all the bowl games, but I do remember a time when fans got excited and happy about, like, dude, we're going to the Holiday Bowl.
No, the Insight Bowl.
The Insight Bowl. Yeah. Like, I remember Oregon State went to the Emerald Bowl one year. Like, all those seasons, they may not have been their best seasons ever, but capped off with a memorable bowl game experience where the fans got to drive or fly somewhere.
An unfamiliar opponent. Yeah. You're playing a school that you otherwise wouldn't have gotten to see.
Yeah.
You're on ESPN. Like, I just think it did matter, and now it doesn't.
And it doesn't matter at all.
And I've reached a point, you know, where, you know, I'm covering these teams, you know, all the way through the season.
Right.
A non-playoff bowl game to me is an exhibition that doesn't have any
players
value.
Players don't play.
Yep. The games don't mean anything.
It takes almost a month to get to the game.
I went to the Sun Bowl 2 years ago when Oregon State played Notre Dame.
And you knew that was going to be an absolute beatdown.
Bloodbath, but yep. Nobody played. I mean, Notre Dame didn't have their guys mm-hmm. play. Oregon State, I mean, obviously DJ was already in the portal. Guys were gone.
Jonathan left.
I think Silas Bolden played maybe a half? Mm-hmm. Or was he already gone?
I think he might have been gone.
And then... And Jonathan was gone, and you had an interim coach. It's like, what are we doing here? Why is this game happening?
Right.
And the only reason that game was happening is because there were contracts to fulfill. There was a contract with CBS. Mm-hmm. There was a contract with Tony the Tiger, Frosted Flakes, because that was the sponsor of the bowl game. And, like, you have this institution that has an obligation to put on a football game. But what does it mean for Oregon State? I mean, like, other than those extra practices you get in December, which – in a vacuum are meaningful.
But that's not your team anymore,
though. But it's not your team.
Because in a month later, those kids are in the portal or you got new kids out of the portal. Yep. I just remember thinking, I feel bad for Oregon State fan that booked that trip, you know, thinking, okay, this year wasn't quite what we thought, but hey, we got a cool bowl game experience against Notre Dame. Oh, coach is gone. Player's gone. Like, all right, well, we're going to lose by 30. And to no surprise, that's exactly what happened. I've always thought the most fun I've enjoyed in the non-playoff bowl games is probably the worst indication or the best indication, depending on how you view it, of how irrelevant they've become. And that is, sans the playoff game, what do we talk about every year? Hey, did you see that Pop-Tart got killed and eaten? Like, that's... when that's your biggest takeaway outside of the playoff games, you're in bad shape. That's not good.
So I've had this idea. I've bounced it around a couple times. Tell me what you think. And it probably needs some fine-tuning. But what if you moved bowl games to the start of the next season? So it's a week zero game. So you earn a week zero game. The matchup is determined based on your performance this season. So, you know, you qualify for whatever bowl game it is, but then it's a week zero game the next year. So everybody's teams are in place. It's a non-conference matchup that is not scheduled. It's determined by your previous year matchup. You go to El Paso, you go to Orlando, you go to San Antonio, wherever it is. And, like, you have your teams, and now it actually counts toward next year. And that's how you're essentially earning that matchup for the next year, as opposed to it's still an exhibition in a sense, but it's not an exhibition as things are falling apart. It's an exhibition as things are coming together.
I'm not mad at any idea that changes what we're currently dealing with. My only, I guess my counter to that would be, I kind of, like, in the season want to see if my team is better than your team. Mm-hmm. And so maybe instead of waiting the whole next season for week zero, why not just move everything up and have a bowl week?
Like December 10th. December 15th, 17th.
But, like, play them all. Mm-hmm. Be like, from morning to night, we've got bowl games galore on ESPN, the Deuce, all that, ESPN. Like, all day, all week, get all the bowl games that aren't playoff games and do a whole week of it. And then that way, most of the teams are still intact if the coach hasn't left.
Yeah.
And you get to see, all right, was UCLA better than Northwestern this year? Like, their fans care about that, I guess. But, like, we'll find out because it's only a week break and they get to play.
But you're not going to solve the attrition problem. Because
I don't think
even if the portal's not open yet, you're still going to lose all the guys who are going to go to the 100%. Draft, the guys who are going to be in the portal.
Coach is probably going to be gone.
Yeah. Is there an NIL solution where it's, hey, you know, you're gonna play through the season, including a bowl game, if we're going to give you this new Hyundai? Like, whatever.
Well, when they
get
contracts, they're going to probably have to sign, you know, when they get to that point, you're playing in the bowl game.
Yeah.
We'll get to that point, I think, eventually. And then maybe the bowl games will matter again.
I don't know. I don't know if bowl games are ever going to matter again.
I mean, I've been wondering this for a long time, and I tend to think no, but I'm still willing to do every. Look at you. You're in today, and I'm breaking later than I do with dirt.
Because we're having such a good time?
After you made fun of me and Ortner, yeah.
I need to check how fast. I do think I did the mini crossword in like 14 seconds last night.
14 seconds.
Hold on, let me
how many words are in the mini crossword?
Yeah, it ranges from like seven to, there's some days they have longer ones, maybe 10 to 12. Not very many.
And you did it in 14 seconds?
Hold on, I'm going to tell you.
You got seven words in 14 seconds?
Let me welcome you to radio. You're a douchebag. That is a douchebag galore. Good morning.
Sorry, 24. Okay. 24 seconds.
24 seconds.
All right. We're moving on. Let's get to this. We got a loaded show today. Obviously, Orem's hanging out. We've got the media man of the year. No, not Bill Orem. It's not Bill Orem. It's Nick Krupke of Fox 12 Oregon.
Oregon Sportscaster of the Year.
Absolutely. Well, also, coaches voted on him as the media guy of the year.
I mean, this is almost like a...
It's award season for Krupke.
This is a Jordan-level run.
It really, and you know what? And nobody deserves it more than him. That dude puts in serious work.
Nick Krupke does... Jason Quick said this once, and I thought it was so well put. Nick Krupke does... He does stories that I want to watch on TV. He is everywhere. He is finding interesting stories on the prep level. He's at the big games on the college and pro stage. Like, I don't know how he finds the time and the hours to deliver as many great stories as he does.
Yeah.
But he is everywhere and very deserving of any recognition he gets because he does a great job.
He'll join us at 8 a.m. We'll talk about the NBA Finals, which is said, how did we get here? The Paul George Finals are here. We'll start there, and then we'll get to the local baseball stuff. And then we'll dive into the final stuff. So it's a loaded show. Bill Orem, guest hosting with me, Dirt and Sprague. Let's get it going on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at bragworthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com. Hi!
We have Utah Valley in the YouTube chat saying this show is ass without Dirt. We can't even make him cry today. I mean, yeah, hold those. The tears are coming Thursday. But by that point, he'll be a typical Duck fan who acts like he doesn't care about baseball again because they only care when they're in the regional and then they lose and they don't care again. So I'm sorry. Hold the tears. The tears are coming on Thursday. Bill and Brandon, if we did a show together, because I don't, would you do Orem and Sprague? Sprague and Orem doesn't sound good. Brandon and Bill BBs. And Brandon. BBs? BB Sports.
BBs in the morning.
I don't know what our show name would be. I have to work on that. The NBA Finals is set. We've got Indiana and Oklahoma City. Indiana, Bill, they outscored the Knicks by 74 in transition points. That was an utter beatdown in a series where they shouldn't have won game one, and they did somehow, and they finish it in six. They get past New York. And now I think we've agreed on this during the break, I think this is the best possible finals matchup we could have gotten. Boston didn't prove to be the juggernaut from last year, even before the Tatum injury.
Yeah.
New York was a fun story, but they're limited. They didn't play as many dudes, and so they tried it. It was too late. Indiana really just showed, I thought, back-to-back years, they deserved to be in that Final Four of the NBA, and they took that step this year, get past the Knicks. And now we've got an interesting matchup where it feels like America thinks the Thunder's going to get the series over quickly. Mm-hmm. I'm not so much there. I think this is a good matchup.
I think it's going to be one of those series where it's a good matchup and the games are really competitive and close and might still be over in five. Like the Thunder, I think, just has so much more firepower.
They're such a wagon.
And they just, I don't know, they know what they're doing at this point. They have so many counters for everything you can do. They can beat you so many different ways.
Yep.
That said, I mean, this Pacers team should not be slept on. This is not, you know, the 2000 Pacers with, you know, one guy who can beat you. Like, this team is pretty stacked and kind of came out of nowhere too, because I don't think any of us were really sitting around in October or even February talking about the Pacers as a title threat, and here they are. And like, it's been fun to watch, and like the way that team's been built, you know, they've got wings we were talking about on the break, you know, guys that were not super heralded, Aaron Nesmith, guys who are going to come in and beat you and knock down big threes,
Nemhard,
defend their butts
yep.
off, Nemhard. Mm-hmm. It's just been fun to watch. Like they play the right way, but they do, and it's paid off for them. I mean, they've won big series.
Yeah, the four seed winning the East and winning any conference is just, it's remarkable in itself. It does kind of speak to the East, and I think the lack of depth and talent in the Eastern Conference. But they punched their ticket back to the finals for the first time in 25 years. The last time they made the finals was the year Portland should have played them.
I know. I was thinking about that the other day.
It's a bad flashback.
Because I have this memory of watching Game 7 and Bob Costas on the broadcast saying, either one of these teams would be favored against the Indiana Pacers,
yeah,
but the Lakers would be favored more. But I think that anybody who grew up watching the Blazers late 90s, early 2000s, thinks back on 2000, not just as the missed opportunity of Game 7, but what that finals would have looked like against a Pacers team that was not built at all to beat the Blazers. The Blazers, by almost any logical measure, would have and should have won a championship.
You know what's funny is I think we largely in this city, we hold that, and it's why it makes Game 7 so painful, aside from you could have gone back to the finals, it just hurts to blow that lead, is I think we all comfortably say we would have won, and I don't know, I still think we would have. Have you ever heard the Pacers talk about that idea? They don't agree with that. In fact, I think if you go back, they swept the Blazers in the two-game season series.
Did they?
They did. And I went and looked, and I was like surprised by it. But Reggie and them say if they would have got Portland, they would have won the title.
That Blazers team, like when you talk to people around, like who were around the league at that time, and I've done a couple stories looking back on it, because when I covered the Lakers, I did an oral history of Game 7 and stuff like that. The way people talk about that Blazers team, the depth that it had, like it's the amount of reverence that people, and not just Bob Witsit and Mike Dunleavy, the reverence they had for the depth and talent on that team is through the roof. Like, there is a real belief that that was a championship team, aside from, 9 minutes of incredible
greatness. It's the deepest Blazer team we've ever had.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, and you know, like, I don't know if fans today totally understand what it means when you say, like, oh, you had Greg Anthony and Detlef Schrempf coming off the bench. Those guys were awesome at what they did for what that team needed, you know, knocking down shots, facilitating, making right plays. That team just went 10, 11 deep.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
I had a buddy that used to work here. He works in Atlanta now. And I reposted a highlight of Scotty making a steal and getting a bucket and pushing it to game six. And a buddy commented and was like, man, that team in retrospect super stacked. And I said, yeah, man, should have won a title. And he responds, I forgot they had Detlef Schrempf on that team. And I go, yeah, like Scotty was, I think, their best player. And he didn't really need to be like 25 and 10 Scotty. He just needed to be 14 and 9 Scotty. And that was good enough because they had so many pieces everywhere.
Yeah, I mean, you look at that start. Let's see. The starting five on that team was Stoudemire, Steve Smith, Pippen, Wallace.
Yep.
And Sabonis.
Sabonis, yeah.
Brian Grant was off the bench. Bonzi Wells was off the bench.
Yep.
Schrempf, Anthony.
Yep.
And I'm probably forgetting somebody important.
You said Smith. I think for the most part,
but that
got
team was stacked.
Yeah. And then you have Baby O'Neal. We ended up trading, you know, later to the Pacers, coincidentally.
For Dale Davis, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, that team is, I'm glad the Pacers have made us remember how great it was to have a great team. That's what the Pacers getting back to the finals has done to us. But the NBA Finals is set. We'll dive into the matchup. I got numbers. How did we get to this matchup? Indiana and Oklahoma City meeting. I just, youngest team ever to go to the finals in Oklahoma City. As you said during the break, they might be here for 15 years, so look out. It's just crazy to think that a team has punched their ticket and they're four games away from being an 84-win team.
Unbelievable.
They have one, I think they have one or two players that are over 30 and older. Everybody else is 26, 25, 24, 23, 27. Like, it's just, it's nuts. And then the Pacers, here they are looking to become the second four seed ever in NBA history to win the championship.
Who was the first one?
1969 Celtics.
Excellent.
So it's, you know, this doesn't happen.
Yeah.
So we'll dive into that coming up at the 7 a.m. hour. Up next, whoopsie daisy happening in Eugene, and we'll get to Corvallis as well. Let's do a little regional baseball check-in next. But first, Ortner with a sports update. All right, welcome back in. Bill Orman for Dirt today. Don't worry. You'll get his duck tears on Thursday, and then he'll tell you he doesn't care because they got a four-star commit yesterday from the class of 2027, because we should all get excited about 2027 commits. We'll get into some more final stuff coming up at 7. We got a final down in Corvallis today at 3 p.m. But let's talk a little. We are the home of the Ducks here at 1080 The Fan. Oregon had a great season. The softball team got eliminated yesterday, but they got to the, what is it? Technically, it would have been the Supers? No, they got to Oklahoma City. Oklahoma eliminated them yesterday. But their baseball team had a good year. And they hosted a regional. Now, some people were upset that Oregon State was a higher seed, and so they were like, oh, why should they be that? We beat them four straight times. Oregon had Arizona, Cal Poly, Utah Valley in the regional. It was all set up for them to win the regional and to potentially go to North Carolina and take on the Tar Heels. And I know there was some debate in that first game, but they didn't win a game. They were eliminated out of the college baseball bracket. Didn't even get out of the regionals, having a good year. And so we'll get to the debate and the whole, like, blocking the plate and the obstruction and the malicious intent and all that. But, like, despite that, to not even win a game in your regional, and it was a great year down there in Eugene, but another year of them not going to Omaha.
Yeah, it was interesting listening to Mark Wazikowski after the game on Saturday, talking about how, you know, how much they've elevated the program and how expectations have changed there, which I totally give them credit for. Super regionals the last 2 years, regional this year. But it is very much like a coach speak thing to say, well, look at how great we've become because now we're disappointed that we didn't get out of a regional. When I got here, the goal was to get to a regional.
Didn't Horton host a regional?
They did. And then there was the big swoon.
Yeah.
But like the thing that I find to be a little bit disingenuous about this is, yes, but the expectations are higher. You are expected to win. You are hosting. You are expected to be competitive. You're not expected to lose to Utah Valley and Cal Poly. Mm. You have an obligation to your fans to, like, you know, perform in that setting. And they weren't able to do it. And I do think that they've become a really good story down there. They've become a bit of a powerhouse, but to win the Big Ten championship, co-title in the regular season, and then completely disappear in the postseason is just a huge disappointment. And, you know, the people I know who are really, like, who follow that team from February through June are just completely baffled by how that happened.
Really?
I mean, they like there's a real there's a fan base that's really invested in Oregon baseball. And to, I mean, the Ducks haven't been to the College World Series since 1954. And granted, there was a long gap where there wasn't a team, but like, this program is due for kind of that breakthrough. And to have the Super Regional 2 years against Oral Roberts, where they, you know, were on the precipice and then completely fell apart. Last year, they go on the road. That was a different assignment. But this felt like a year where, you know, hey, like, you've got the team, you've got the offense, you've got the bats, you got the power.
You got everything. You got funding, you got stadium, you got jerseys. I mean, there's nothing that they don't have.
Yeah.
And I, you know, that's... It's Oregon.
And they keep hitting their head on this ceiling.
Yeah, and I don't know what it takes to break through. You had mentioned something about maybe styles.
Well, the one thing that's interesting about them is, like, they have built their entire... They've set, like, a school record in home runs each of the last 3 years.
Yep.
Like, they rake. That is their bread and butter. That is their style. And I asked Waz about it once, and he was like, well, you know, home runs count for more than singles. And that's true, but, like when you... live by the homer, you die by the homer. Mm-hmm. And that has been kind of, I think, their undoing. And, like, you've got to be able to win games multiple ways. And you saw it with Oregon State yesterday against in the first game against St. Mary's, where, you know, granted, you're not going to see four bunts in an inning every time, but, like, the Beavers can beat you different ways.
Yeah, they went against St. Mary's and then bunted the hell out of USC.
Oh, it was USC that they're bunting. Yeah. But, like, that was fun to watch because that was a balanced baseball team. And, like, I don't want to just pile on the Ducks because of two games, but, like, you've got to give us a little bit more.
Their expectations are higher than the regional.
Yeah.
It's not pile on. I just think it's realistic. Like, they didn't go into the regional going, well, I hope we can beat Utah Valley.
No, I mean, at minimum, you're getting to the regional final against presumably Arizona with a chance to get to North Carolina.
Now,
you're not just folding.
Right. If you lose to Arizona in your regional, like, I still think that's a disappointing season.
Sure.
But Arizona's been, you know, historically a great program in baseball. The debate and the controversial moment was in the first game against Utah Valley, where they get a runner waved in. There's a play at the plate. There's a catcher blocking the home plate. The runner sees the ball kind of bounce to the glove. The ball doesn't go in the glove. It bounces off, but the runner hits the catcher, touches home plate. They call him safe. The run scores. At that point, it's 6-5. And then they review this, and they maintain that it was malicious intent, and you can't do that to the catcher. The guy is out. And so, and then there's a debate because the rule pops up on the screen that clearly says catcher must possess ball to block plate. He did not have the ball at any one point. It bounced off a glove. He was blocking before that. I that's not what lost them the regional. They lost the regional by not playing great baseball. But I don't know what we're supposed to do in that sport. With this, it's basically the Buster Posey rule, right? It's the you broke your ankle and foot at home and it looked awful. I don't know what baseball players are supposed to do. What are you supposed to do as a runner? And then also, like, you're not supposed to block the plate without the ball, but, like, every catcher my whole life was coached to, hey, do whatever you can to prevent the run. And so now you're in this weird spot in that sport where when it does happen, it's happening in softball. I don't know what the answer is now if there's rules to this stuff.
Yeah, I'm glad Pete Rose wasn't alive to see this because, I mean, like,
well, he was. He just died. He'd seen it a couple times.
Not on Friday.
Well, like, touché.
But I agree. I agree with you completely. The point is to stop the run. And so, you know, Anson Arroz is coming in and, like, what's he trying to do? He's trying to get to home.
Yeah.
Like, he's got to get to home. And so the guy is in your way. Like, I don't know what he's supposed to do. Now, granted, you know, like, if he makes an effort to slide in some way, then the run probably counts and the obstruction would hold. But, like, I struggle with the order of operations here.
Me too.
Because you can convince me that there was quote unquote malicious contact based on the letter of the law because he didn't slide, he ran straight through him, you know, he didn't pull up, whatever. But why did he do that? He did it because the catcher was in his path. The catcher was in his lane and didn't have the ball. So there was, I believe the rule interpretation said that if there hadn't been malicious contact, then it would have been obstruction. But the obstruction
is
what caused
malicious?
The malicious contact.
I feel like if you're running and you see home plate, you're just supposed to stop and go around? You're supposed
I agree. It's silly.
Path?
I agree.
It's so
silly.
Weird.
And I don't, and I feel like we've, you know, this happens in football with different rules, basketball, but where we are over legislating the mechanics of the game.
Yeah.
And to me, you have to let the game unfold naturally. And like, if you watch the Oregon UCLA game, the Ducks in softball, mm-hmm. the Ducks got a run late on a play where UCLA, you know, nailed the runner at the plate. Like the ball is there, it is at home, and they beat the runner. But the catcher blocks the path.
Right.
And so Oregon ends up getting the run, even though Oregon's runner never touched home plate. And to me, it's like, how do you give that run when the ball is in the catcher's glove, she's there, she's in front of the runner? How do you give that run? And so I don't really understand the obstruction rule. I don't like that we are interpreting what is and isn't a run. It's like football, what's a catch? Like, now it's like, did you score? Is this a run?
Did you complete the process?
Exactly. I don't like it. I'm always going to say that I support, you know, player safety, and like, if player safety is the goal, that's great. But you are going to have bang bang plays. You are going to have contact in sports. You're going to have collisions. This to me was an example of, you know, a high stakes situation where one team needed to score a run, the other team needed to prevent a run. And this is what you get when two
both
players
teams
are
doing it right.
When
I think
both
actually,
teams
yeah.
played hard.
Right, yeah.
Like, it just, to me, it's like, what are we doing and what are we actually doing to the sport? Because, you know, I thought that was just a great baseball play.
I mean, you played baseball growing up, I assume, Little League?
I mean, poorly, sure.
Okay, right. So did I. And now these kids are in college. We're all, you know, we're getting to our 40s almost. Like, these guys in college, they're playing the game the same way you and I did. Mm-hmm. And this rule has been into effect for some time. Like, you're still making people now mm-hmm. play the game differently than they've been coached 5, 6, 7 years ago. So I think that means your rules are poor. And you can't, I mean, there's just going to be some physicality in sports. And you don't want to see injuries happen. But it's not like every single time there's a play at the plate, the catcher's coming around with a broken foot. So
you brought up the one in the Oregon State game yesterday, which was in the first inning against SC. SC sent a runner on a shot to the gap, and
great relay by Oregon State.
Probably shouldn't have pushed it if I was USC, but tried to score from first.
I think it was first. Yeah,
tried to score from first.
Yep,
and you know, great play, great relay from second, and you know, the runner goes wide. You know, makes a swipe at the plate. I don't think he actually ever touched home plate. But you know, they get the tag. It was a great play, and all of a sudden we go to review to see if he was obstructing the path.
And I think he was.
He probably was,
but they didn't call it because there was no contact with the base runner because he went around it. So
the run didn't score, and you know, it was a great. It was an out for the Beavers, and you know, they were on their way.
Yep.
But I mean, once you bring in that human interpretation of, you know, again, like, did you complete the process? What is a catch? I just think that we're losing kind of the spirit of, my job is to get from here to here, mm-hmm. and your job is to keep me from getting there.
Yeah.
That is how the sport works.
Yeah. I tend to agree with that. So Oregon is out of the regional. Let's go down. We got a final in Corvallis today. Oregon State beating USC last night. They did it with small ball. How about that? We'll get to that next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Well, this will be what we call a shorty in the radio biz, a little blurb. But we'll get into it because we got a final down in Corvallis. The Beavers, since they lost their opening game to St. Mary's, which was like, oh no, are they going to get eliminated by a WCC team in their own regional? So we're close to having Oregon and Oregon State both be bumped in their home regionals, which would be awful for both programs. After losing to St. Mary's in the opening game, the Beavers, while facing elimination, have scored 41 runs on 45 hits in three games. Is that good?
I think it's good.
That's pretty good. And yesterday they beat USC. They beat St. Mary's in the revenge game, so they eliminate St. Mary's. And then they wait till about 7:40. They play their first game against USC because USC hadn't lost to that point. And so they're going to play a final today at 3, but last night they won 14-1? Was it 1? Yeah, 14-1. Yep. And they largely did it at the start by bunting. And I just kept thinking how bad of a bunter I was as a baseball player, largely because I thought it was the most terrifying thing to do in the sport. And also, I should have been better because I wasn't a very big kid. I was more fast and little. And bunting should have been, I should have been Ichiro. In my little league, I should have been Ichiro, slap that ball down on the ground, and beat out all the throws.
Are you left-handed?
No, I'm a righty.
Okay.
But I was really quick. Like, I could beat out, if I hit to the shortstop or third, I could beat those throws out. I just was a terrible bunter, because it was terrifying to me. I didn't want my fingers to get hit. Were you a good bunter?
I wasn't a good bunter, but I wasn't a good ball player at all. So,
like, at all?
No.
Are you a good athlete?
I was a terrible hitter.
Okay.
I never could get out of my own head with the ball. I always thought I was going to get hit by the ball.
Me too. But
I was
terrified.
But I was a good fielder. I was a good third baseman.
Yeah.
And I have fond memories of playing third base and making plays at the hot corner.
Oh yeah, but I loved center field. I loved a diving catch opportunity or get your routine.
See, but you were fast. I wasn't fast.
Oh well, okay. You weren't fast.
No.
Huh?
No. Do I look fast?
I mean, you're white, so no. were you good in any sport?
I don't like the direction of this conversation. I was the
what
two.
Do you mean?
I was the two-time most improved player on the Neseca High School JV basketball team.
Wait, you were on JV twice in a row?
I mean, I was on JV.
What year were you on JV? What was your last year on JV? Were you a junior?
I think I swung JV varsity as a junior.
Oh, okay. And all then, right. Now I have a better idea now.
Yeah. Well. But I was a good JV. But I was really good on JV my junior year.
Some people are on varsity junior. Some people are on JV. Some people do, you know, the mini crossword in 14 seconds. Some people take 6 minutes. You know, we each all have our own strengths here, Bill.
I agree completely.
I'm excited for the final. Oregon State right now is in a rhythm. I think Beaver fan is super optimistic while also going, have we wasted all our offensive bullets in the last three games, given what we did against St. Mary's and then what we did against USC?
I don't think that's a thing. I think you want to be swinging the bats as well as you possibly can going into
this
game.
I tend to agree with that theory.
The Beavers have the pitching depth. I don't know that USC does. I think if you're a Beaver fan, you're feeling really good going into this, or you should.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the way they're playing, I mean, knock on wood for the Beaver fans out there, but, like, I do not see them losing. I see them moving on. This, to me, seems like you know, they got their cages rattled a little bit in the opener against St. Mary's, knocked the cobwebs off. They hadn't played in how many days? Because they're no conference tournament, right? Yeah. So they'd been off for however many days, 10 days,
yep,
going into that, looked like it, and they've come completely alive. I see them moving on.
Now, you're going to be pro paper here.
Sure.
And you're going to do your journalistic duties of you know, protecting your shield. There's got to be a little bit of a conflict internally for the handsome Joe Freeman if Florida State comes to Corvallis, right?
That's a good question that I hadn't thought about.
Because we've had him on the program a couple times throughout the baseball season because he does a great job covering the team. But I just wonder, does that come into play at all? Is there any ounce of him that they're up 6-5 in a closeout scenario? And he's like, he's going to write a good story, but internally he's like, come on, come on. Like, I don't know how you guys don't have that as writers.
It's interesting because, like, you know, my best examples are, you know, like the Blazers. I grew up a huge Blazers fan as a kid. And I can go in the Blazers locker room and not feel a thing, right? Like, it's not like a, like, oh, this is so cool that I'm here type deal.
Montana's about to beat Oregon at Autzen Stadium.
Oh, I'm rooting for Montana. 100%.
Okay, all right. Well,
There's no question.
It's a good story, too.
Absolutely. It's a good story. Like, also, losses don't matter in college football anymore in this new 93-game playoff that they're creating. Yeah. So losses don't matter, and they'll get in anyway at 10-2. So give Montana the win.
We'll get back more into this game, the final between Oregon State and USC, but an impressive display after losing their first game, scoring 41 runs, excuse me, on 45 hits in their three games since. So we got an elimination game down at Corvallis. We'll see what happens in the region. We'll dive back into that in the final hour. Loaded second hour of the program. We are going to kick it off with some NBA final stuff. How did we get here? Mm-hmm. The numbers, the matchup. The Paul George finals are here. The Pacers and the Thunder. Loaded second hour. Bill Oram in for Dirt today. Hour two on the Odyssey app and the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Grilling season is in full swing, and Whole Foods Market has the essentials to make summer meals simple, flavorful, and affordable. With great everyday prices across the store, it's easy to build a crowd-pleasing spread without sacrificing quality. The 365 by Whole Foods Market brand offers a wide selection of grilling favorites, like no antibiotics ever chicken thighs, ground beef, wild-caught salmon burgers, and uncured hot dogs. There are also plenty of sides to choose from, including organic salad kits, kettle cooked chips, tortilla chips, and bold zesty salsas. For toppings and marinades, look for organic condiments like no sugar added ketchup and yellow mustard, plus spice rubs and sauces to bring extra flavor. To round things out, pick up sparkling water, organic lemonade, and pints of ice cream, plus organic cake cones for an easy summer dessert. There are so many ways to save on summer grilling favorites at Whole Foods Market.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.